DGS coming up in the next segment. Tommy Ackerman's going to join us. We'll talk some Cardinals and some national championship tonight. Then Dave Murray.
Slew's got a new coach, too.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We had the announcement earlier today. Yeah. Thank Josh Shirt. So, yeah. Pretty cool.
That was one of the more awkward moments on the DGS in 24 years when I was like, hey, shirts. And you're like, yeah, I wear them all the time. And then we will do the Sweet 16 without Skip because he is off gallivanting. And it is the Sweet 16 of the best natural phenomenon / places.
Nice.
So it could be the Great Barrier Reef versus tornadoes and just like the most amazing things about our planet and the skies and things like that. A couple controversies going on. Did you see the one about Joe Rogan and Moses?
No.
That Moses? From the Bible?
Like the Bible Moses?
Yes.
Okay.
Not Moses Malone?
So, most of you know Joe Rogan, and you know he's pretty, you know, outspoken and open-minded and into hallucinogens and DMT and ayahuasca and things like that. And he was making this compelling case that, look, Moses was high. And
when he saw the burning bush.
Yes. And that he burned, I forget what it's called, kudzu or something like that. Uh-huh. But his theory is that, there was a burning bush because he lit it and then he got super wide and thought that he was, you know, and he said, I've been there. I've done DMT. I've done ayahuasca. I've done all these things, the horny toad snot. And I have seen God and I've talked to him. And I think he gave me the Ten Commandments once. And so understandably, anyone from the Judeo-Christian tradition is very, very mad at Joe Rogan right now. And then other people are like, that's genius. Or even if they're not saying it's genius, they're saying, hey, let the man talk. It's free speech. You can say anything you want to say. Thoughts?
I mean, it's definitely free speech and he's allowed to hold those opinions. But I also get why if your faith is based on that, you're like, hey, don't say that this man who I believe was chosen by God to lead his people was high and
was just
hallucinating, these Ten Commandments that we are sacred to us.
So
I think it's fair in either direction.
The same way that everyone needs to, and I believe this, you need to let people of faith have their faith and believe it.
Agreed.
For the very same reason, it's okay for Joe Rogan to say what he thinks. It's that simple. If one exists, the other has to exist.
Mm-hmm.
If you're free, if anyone who of faith is free to be of their faith, then someone like Joe is free, or you or me, we are free to give an alternative explanation or idea that you might think. Now, I'm not jumping on Joe's bandwagon there. It's just he's just telling stories. He's just speculating, which, again, no big deal. He's not telling you your faith is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he is, so what? You're telling other people that their faith is incorrect if you have the one true belief.
Yeah.
So let's all just let each other do that.
I'd be curious to hear the actual clip and see how much he was just joshing, how much he was being serious.
I think he was pretty serious.
Well, because, I mean, we started the show by talking about the eclipse could be Jesus coming back and there's going to be giant spiders working at the Starbucks. So
good point.
Let's just hope we don't go viral with that because everyone's going to be mad at us.
And we were very serious.
Right? Also, it's been a rough year so for Dwayne The Rock Johnson, starting with the Hawaii stuff people getting mad at him. And then I think it was The View he was on, but it was one of those types of shows just last week. And they asked who he was supporting for president, and he said he was not comfortable saying, and the whole audience really booed him.
Wow.
And it just, like, I don't really care about Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but I just thought, oh, is that where we are? Because when I wasn't even a little kid, I was a grown man, when it was impolite to ask someone their politics.
Yeah.
And it was certainly impolite to get mad at them if they said, I'm not comfortable telling you what it is. Now, he's a national figure. He's someone who has actually made noise about running for president at some time, so he may be in a different category. But how are we feeling about now booing people because they refuse to tell you who they're going to vote for?
It's so stupid. And, you know, I think the problem ends up being the way that these things are cut and pasted or clipped out, right? Because the clippings that you'll see is Dwayne Johnson says Biden is divisive. That's not what he was saying. He was saying that his choosing someone wound up being divisive in his life because he has fans that vote for both parties. And it got him a lot of heat, and he thought that that was a bad thing, so he's just going to keep it to himself. That's what he said. But it turned into The Rock says voting for Biden was divisive. Like, that's not, we just need to listen better, right? I mean, like, listen to the whole quote, not just pick out the one quote that's going to be the sexy headline that gets traction on Twitter. But that's what it becomes. And there's nothing, and if I were in that position, if you were in that position, would you ever talk about it? Would you ever say, like, and I'm not, it's not like we have public voices. I mean, this is going on the radio that we're saying right now. But if I were The Rock, I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't. You're at that, at the level he's
if
at.
If that's not your job.
If that's not my
that's
job.
That's part of our job, but it's not part of his.
Unless you're just a true believer. And by the way, we do the same thing. We're like, if a guy tells us and we don't like it, we get mad. If someone won't tell us, we get mad.
See, it's interesting to hear this like that from you guys, because me growing, maybe it's growing up the time I did. I don't exactly know what it would be, but I looked at it differently. Instead of looking at it like, yeah, why should he have to tell us? That's stupid for you to get mad at him. I looked at it the other way. I was like, yeah, boo him.
Hmm.
Tell me who you're going to vote. You know, if you're going to vote for somebody for president and you feel strongly that you're going to vote for somebody, tell me.
Why?
You know what I mean?
Why do you feel that way? I'm just curious.
I don't know exactly. I guess.
Is it because he was in the mix before?
Well, he's been in the mix. That is true. And then also, it. I guess maybe just to somebody from my time, that feels like you're telling me that you don't want to stand by your own beliefs, right?
So
you feel like you're going to vote for Trump for president, like theoretically, if it's Trump, you're going to vote for Trump for president, but yet you won't loud and proud stand on the rooftops and say, I'm going to vote for
what
Donald
if
Trump.
Instead of Dwayne Johnson on The View, it's me at a barbecue at your house, and one of your neighbors asked me, and I'm like, I don't really want to talk politics right now, and they start sweating me. Do you feel the same way? Like, hey, you know you're not voting for Trump. Tell them who you're voting for.
Not as strongly, but I...
So it sounds like the bigger the personality, the more you expect them to speak.
The bigger the personality and the bigger the stage as well. I think in 2024, you got to know if you're going on... If you're going to be in a situation like that, somebody might talk politics. Politics is everything now. We talk about it all the time. Politics is entertainment. It's become identity. And so I think if you know you're going to vote for somebody, now you can, if you say like, I really have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I have no idea who to vote for. I don't like this guy. I don't like this guy. That's an answer to me.
If you're being honest, yeah.
Yeah, that's an answer to me. And I accept that fully. But if you're like, I don't want to tell you who I'm going to vote for.
Yeah.
That tells me it's like, hey, if you feel strongly enough to vote for them,
represent.
Here's the thing that I have, though. We get mad when celebrities want to tell people everything they think. Like the general population's like, just shut up. We're tired of you guys. Right? We don't want to hear from John Voight because he's too Trumpy. And we don't want to hear from, I don't know, who should I pick? Because they're too Jimmy Kimmel because he's against Trump or whatever. We all get mad about that, but then we want to put them on the spot. And to me, the standard for them should be the standard for all of us. If we wouldn't want to be asked all the time in public or at a get together, like you're saying, then that's the standard that should apply to them. If we want to be told to shut up and not give our opinions, then that's the standard for them. Unless we're willing to do that for ourselves, right? We can't say, you're an actor, you shut up, but I'm a radio guy and I get to talk. Like, you can't, it's got to be consistent.
I don't think they have to be consistent at
all.
Yeah,
they do.
They don't have to be consistent for any other standard. They get to do crimes and get away with them or face severely lightened sentences.
We're not talking about crimes. We're talking about how people are expected to act when it comes expressing their views.
But you're talking about we should hold them to the same standards we would hold ourselves
to.
No,
what I'm saying is we should hold ourselves to the standard that we hold other people to. In general, across the board. I hold myself to the standard that I hold other people to. I don't make exceptions for me because I have a certain job or I don't have as much money as The Rock or whatever. I think we need to all hold ourselves to the standard that we want to hold other people to.
I'm fine with him not sharing who he's going to vote for because I just feel like that's one of the last few secrets that we get to keep in this day and age.
I feel that.
I mean, it's kind of fun to be like, you go into the voting booth and technically no one is supposed to, like, it is 100% your choice or not to share who you're voting for. And it is because the process is private. You're not supposed to be taking pictures in there. You're not supposed to be sharing while it's supposed to be like a sacred experience. So I'm fine with them not sharing. I do think it's a little weird to endorse Biden in 2020 and then in 2024 to say, I'm unhappy with the country, so I'm not going to make an endorsement. Like, you're kind of saying it all when I kind of get where Andrew's coming from there, where it's like, you're saying it. We all know what you're saying, so just come out and say it. But it is his right to not say it.
There is a real difference between endorsing and someone asking you who you're going to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if someone asks me, I'm endorsing no one, and I honestly don't know who I'll vote for. I know I won't vote for Donald Trump. I don't know that I can vote for Joe Biden because I don't believe in Joe Biden. Donald Trump is going to win Missouri. Some things are just facts. I don't think I will vote for RFK because I'm afraid that would give it to Trump. So I may not vote top of ticket, but the fact that I'm not endorsing someone makes me feel okay with being okay telling people I'm not sure what I'm going to do.
And that is a smart, honest, and well thought out answer. And if you had said, and if he had said exactly those words on the, or something similar to it on the show, I would have
Don't be holding the rock to Dave Glover standards.
Plus the thing, I would have had a lot more respect for him. I'd have been like, wow.
Right, but his answer was a long answer like that. And he gave a separate answer when asked about it in another venue, too. So at what point is it on us to actually read what he's saying in full?
What did he say in full? Do you know?
I mean, I can read it to you if you want.
Read it in his voice.
Let me tell you what The Rock is cooking. Wait, that sounds more like Kevin just Macho
has to,
Man.
Kevin just has to always defend The Rock.
I'm not
the
defending him for anything.
Buddy. He loves him.
He loves
I'm not defending. I could not care less about him.
Why don't you kiss him?
Yeah, we were buddies in college. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I forgot.
We did go to college at the same time. He had no idea who I was.
He remembers.
Didn't you guys like, go to the same workout one time?
Well, I mean, the gym for the football team was the gym for the baseball team.
Did you ever spot him?
Yeah, all the time. No, I needed him to spot me. He was the only one.
Do you think The Rock ever talks about Wheeler and is like, he has no idea who I am?
Yeah, No, definitely not.
At the same time.
He definitely doesn't remember me at all.
Rock was, I mean, you know, but the funny thing is at that time, he wasn't, quote, that famous.
Yeah.
Like, people knew his family was a wrestling family.
Yeah.
But he was kind of like a backup defensive lineman. Again, all of those guys were rock stars. If you were on the football team, you were a rock star on campus. But he wasn't like the star guy. He was just a guy that people knew because his family was famous in wrestling. And, you know, apparently there was buzz that he was going to do that when he stopped playing football. And guess what? He did.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that it's interesting that the quick change or the short headline is the only part that anybody's paying attention to. I did 30 seconds of Google searching and I'm looking at this and I've got a 3 or 4 paragraphs of him talking about why he doesn't like the current direction. He wishes he hadn't endorsed anybody the last time, so he's not endorsing anybody this time around. And apparently that's not a good enough answer. And what I hear is people that like Biden are mad at him that he's not going to try to help Biden. Well, that's not his job. If he thought 4 years ago it was a good thing and now it's not, it's up to him.
323 DGS on KMOX. Our buddy Tom Ackerman joins us. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, let's start things off with a patented Dave Glover analogy. So I need to get this off my chest. There are like 8 people on the face of the earth that understand the balk rule, right? And yet, every time a pitcher throws to first base, everyone screams balk at the top of their lungs. And yesterday, I watched 2 or 3 different games, and it happened in each one. And it just reminds me of society today. None of us know what's going on. But every time someone makes a move, we're just screaming at the top of our lungs, right? And every time that happens in baseball, I just slap my forehead like, shut up.
Yeah, that's funny.
Just shut up.
Yeah, was this Cardinals or was this youth baseball, youth softball?
No, this was pros.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, because, I mean, I attended my daughter's softball game yesterday, and her second one ever, by the way. She's off to a great start. And there were some umpires in the crowd. I mean, they seem to know exactly what's going on.
Umpires in the crowd.
I had an argument about a balk call yesterday at our game.
Did you really?
Yeah. I mean, and I was dead right. umpire called a balk that is not a balk, and it never has been a balk.
You and Tom are one of the eight people I would think understand the rules. So. Tommy, who are you liking this 5-5? Who are you liking, and who are you a little concerned about?
Well, I mean, I think the Cardinals are a much better team with Sonny Gray. I mean, you know, tomorrow's a huge day for them. I mean, they get Sonny Gray back. Now you're talking a rotation that I think changes things a little bit. I mean, they got him for a reason. He is one of the best pitchers in the game. I think he is a pitcher who can control a game. And you're going to have to live with 65 pitches as a limit for him to start things off.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets down to it, you know, he's eventually going to be a killer for any National League team. I mean, he can absolutely get it going. And then I think beyond that, you know, they seem just need to get healthy. I mean, they've got to get Keenan Middleton back. He hasn't pitched yet. He's a big part of their bullpen. I think the bullpen's been able to hang in there. As long as he's pitching, I'll give Kyle Gibson some credit yesterday. Kyle Gibson got destroyed in the first inning. Absolutely destroyed. He gives up 2 3-run homers. But then, you know what? He ends up throwing 6 innings and 94 pitches. And while it wasn't a good outing on paper, that's a big deal because he's able to save the bullpen a little bit. They've just got to figure out how to, you know, glue this thing together until everybody gets healthy.
Yeah, with some notable exceptions, and I'm not patting you guys on the head because you're here, like you really do understand the game better than I do, but with some notable exceptions, I've been pretty happy with the pitching. Like, I've been surprised with Matz. I thought he's done better than I expected.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been better. I mean, Matz is, and he's not even at full throttle yet. You know, they kind of clipped him at 80 pitches in his first outing, and I think this last one, they continue to monitor him. He's actually the one of the five that I was most concerned about,
yeah.
And he's the youngest because he just hasn't been durable. But yeah, the rest of them have been good. I mean, Lynn is fine. You know, he's going to give up some bombs, but Lynn will hang in there and throw 90% fastballs. Michaelis will do his thing tonight. He's going to get hit, but he'll throw strikes and he'll manage the game. And then, you know, you got Sonny Gray, and you've got Gibson, you got Lynn, you got Matz, you got Gray, you got Michaelis. It's a pretty good fivesome. Zach Thompson will back up Gray today is the plan. And then you try to figure out what your bullpen looks like. And, you know, they're so banged up, they didn't even have 3 outfielders to start the year, Edmund Carlson and Newt Barr, and they won't have Edmund and Carlson for a while, but they've found they do have some depth, and I think this team is going to be okay. I think we're just going to have to live with the fact that the Cardinals are going to be a good team that is going to go up and go down, but probably will hang in the NL Central.
Tom, about 60 seconds left. I know as an Indiana Hoosier, you're big into college basketball. How are you feeling about the national championship tonight?
I like UConn tonight, although I think Purdue will keep it closer than people think. I think UConn is just a superior team. It wouldn't surprise me if UConn ran away with the game. They've blown everybody else out.
Yeah.
But I think they will win the game. I did attend Josh Schertz's press conference today at Chaffetz Arena. You guys are going to love Josh Schertz. What a fun, great personality. I've known him a little bit, covering him on TV with the Valley. But now I really look forward to working with him on KMOX as the SLU coach. And by the way, he can run an offense. His basketball teams are fun at Indiana State. So that's something to look forward to as well.
Excellent. Thank you, Tom.
Anytime, guys.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, we're back inside. We were upstairs on top of the roof for the first hour and a half through the eclipse. That was very cool. Dave Murray joined us now. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. Andrew didn't burn his eyes, did he?
No. Shockingly, no. He took his shirt off, burned his chest a little bit, but...
Now, we had glasses for him, Dave. He didn't...
Good.
He
good.
Didn't just stare at the sun like he was threatened to.
He was still bragging about it, though. He's like, I stare at the sun all the time. I don't need an eclipse to stare at the sun. I do it all the time. I'm fine. Seems like it'd be one of those things that's self-policing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Stare
at it long enough, burn your corneas, you learn your lesson.
You know, it truly, on a sunny day, like right now, you could look up.
Yeah.
And your brain is going to say, don't do that. Turn away.
Right. Your eyelids are going to come down involuntarily. Right.
You know, Dave, my takeaway from the eclipse today, because like I said, we're up on the roof. It was super cool.
Yeah.
And looking through the glasses, you could see that it was at like 90%, 95%, whatever it was.
Yeah, 98.
But it was not nearly, those 2%, it was not nearly as dark as it was in 2017, or at least my perception.
Yeah, we were talking about that on Fridays, that 2%, you know, you think of anything, well, it's 2% less or it's 2% more. It's, well, that's nothing. That's the same thing. But it's not with an eclipse. It's a phenomenal experience to go through.
Yeah.
And I hope folks who are listening, some folks who are further east and southeast, got a chance to see it.
Yeah, you make a good point, Dave. 2% of a star is a lot. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if somebody says to you, hey, I can save you 2% on this bill.
Okay. Yeah, saving. So we lucked out with the clouds, at least here in St. Louis.
Yep.
Hopefully they did along the path as well. What are we looking at for the rest of the week?
You know, we start to go a little unsettled, but the real wet weather doesn't dig in here until Wednesday afternoon through Thursday. I know you're interested in the Wednesday afternoon forecast, but we'll get to that. Nothing more than a spot shower late tonight. Nothing more than a spot shower on Tuesday. Mostly cloudy skies. Nothing more than a spot shower Tuesday night. Wednesday, clouds dominate. Periods of mainly a light rain developing as we go through Wednesday afternoon, 65. Periods of mainly light rain Wednesday night. Same story on Thursday. Periods of light rain, 65. Then it blows out of here. Friday, sunny and 68. And how about 80 to 85 sunny and dry over this upcoming weekend?
Wow.
Very nice.
Man, that escalated quickly, didn't it?
That's like, oh, wait a minute. Something just got out of hand.
Mm-hmm. Man, no kidding.
I mean, just this past Saturday night, coming like near the end of a ball game, it was like 40 degrees and freezing, and now it's going to be 85.
Yeah,
I'm like, am I going to get dehydrated this week?
Freezing your butt off just a week ago.
Oh, Dave Murray, you would have been so proud of Wheels. He does such a good job with his sun protection. He had a big floppy hat.
He has to.
Sunglasses.
Sunscreen.
I get made fun of for baseball at coaching because, I mean, I would say on an average day where we have two games, like, because usually you have two on a Saturday, I probably use the sunscreen 6 times.
Good. Well, yeah, well, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good. You turn red at under 25 watt bulb.
Yes. That's why we keep the studio lights low.
Can't get too close to a roast chicken.
That's why I stay away from those hot dog warmers at the gas station.
So, Dave, I'm always asking you these things like, no more freezes, no more this. Like, we're still going to have some cooler weather ahead
of us. Yes. You know, even though I'm going 80 to 85 over the weekend, you never, you know, we use a couple of different dates. Easter was early this year. You know, tax day is another day a lot of folks use. You know, never trust the weather until after the 15th of April. Don't plant the warm season crops until after Mother's Day, you know, kind of thing. So, yeah, through the 20th of April, we could still have some cool weather.
Okay. How are we doing on rain and moisture? Are we caught up yet?
Rain's looking pretty good right now. We've had some decent rains anyway. We're certainly not in a drought at this point, but we could flip very quickly. You know, it's not like we have a big surplus that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think this rain, even though I'm not anticipating heavy rain and it's not a thunderstorm situation on Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night, Thursday, it's going to be a nice little rain. And that's the kind of rain you like this time of year.
That's right. Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Download the Schnucks Rewards app and earn 2% back on every purchase. Lawmakers are proposing new rules protecting personal data. This is a bipartisan duo of lawmakers. Senator Maria Cantwell, who is a Democrat, and Representative Kathy McMorris, who is a Republican, they want to introduce a bill that would restrict how companies can collect customer data and define privacy as a consumer right. It would also create a new FTC bureau focused on data privacy.
Kind of amazing that we haven't done that yet.
Absolutely.
You know?
It seems like every time you turn around, it's like, yeah, sorry, AT&T just leaked all your data.
I know.
They got hacked or this happened.
I don't know about you guys. Like, I accept all the cookies all the time. Like, I don't know what a cookie is. I'm sure it's bad for me, but it's like, what am I going to do? Say no? And
then have the page go blank?
Not get to look at the website?
You not be able to look at the website or have to read something? Like, we're so lazy.
I got to grow I got a great scam text today.
Ooh,
and you knew it was. It said, "Hi, this is your representative from CI Bank." I had no idea what they were talking about, but we denied a withdrawal of $120 from such and such a company. And I decided, you know what? Let's have some fun. Let's call these guys. And so I call them up. And clearly, I mean, they didn't ask my name. They didn't ask anything. They said, "Oh, yeah, we have a withdrawal that we stopped for this amount of money." Obviously, every text that went out was the same amount from the same company.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, who are you?" "Oh, well, we represent, you know, a credit card company." And I said, "I know that. That's what I gathered. But who are you?" And he goes, we're your credit card company."
Oh, man.
And I said, "Okay. Why do I think you're a fraud?" And the guy goes, "Are you calling me a blankety blank blank?"
Wow.
And I said, "No, I'm calling you a fraud." And he hung up.
You should have said, "Yes, I am. Yes, what are you going to do about it, buddy?"
That's not suspicious at all.
No.
Absolutely. A credit card representative is going to say that to you.
MasterCard always jumps to that with me. How about that? Well, I hate to brag, but I have been okayed for a loan up to $46,000.
Oh, congratulations.
There you go. All right.
Congratulations.
All that hard work is finally paying off.
Yes,
babe.
It is.
Yeah.
All right, Morgan Wallen has been arrested on felony charges after allegedly throwing a chair off of the roof of a bar in Nashville. He allegedly threw the chair off the roof, narrowly missing police officers standing below.
Oh. Okay, I have zero tolerance for this kind of
thing. I agree.
Like, yeah. I don't care that you're a celebrity. I don't care. You already got away with saying the N-word. You already got away with a bunch of other stuff. You almost killed people. It could have been a baby. It could have been someone's wife. It could have been anybody, you piece of crap. Just because you're a star doesn't mean that you can put other people in danger and laugh about it. Whatever the absolute most you can get for that, he should get it, because this guy clearly isn't getting the message.
And if it's on video and there are eyewitnesses, there should be no plea
bargain.
There should
be no.
Zero plea bargain. You are going to jail.
I don't want him I don't want him to do a concert to benefit the police. I don't want him to do a PSA. I want him to do whatever it is. The worst thing that can happen to him is what I want to see happen to him. The worst thing that can happen to him for throwing a chair off a six-story building.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is his second strike. Does he get a third? Do we give him a third chance?
Oh, he'll get 10, 12. He makes money.
People really like his music.
Yeah, it's off a six-story roof.
Yes, and it almost hits.
That's going to kill someone. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's going to kill someone if it hits him.
Egg prices are skyrocketing again about a year after they finally started to come down after soaring to record heights in 2022. The grocery item is getting more expensive again following a new bird flu outbreak.
You know what?
Yes, Dave.
It's about time to go whip some ass at the Egg Council. I've had to just
scramble those eggs.
Just up to here with these guys.
An engine part comes off of a Boeing plane. I mean, just every time you turn around, we've got a new story.
Have you seen the video?
I have not seen the video.
It's shocking.
Shocking.
So this happened during takeoff in Denver. It's the latest incident in a string of safety incidents involving Boeing, but Boeing declined to comment, instead referring inquiries to Southwest Airlines.
Most everyone has seen the famous William Shatner 20,000 feet where he sees the gremlin and no one believes him on the Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And
love that one.
The gremlin is grabbing pieces of the engine and just ripping it off. That's exactly what it looks like.
Wow.
Only worse.
Is the gremlin invisible?
I mean, it is. And the people they're filming it. They're like, "I don't think this is right." And the engine's just coming apart. It was on takeoff that this happened. Terrible.
So how many times, I mean, I'm not asking exact, but has this been like 6 to 10 times in the last few weeks?
It feels like it.
Easy.
Yeah.
So where are the repercussions for this?
I mean,
like, if stuff's falling off airplanes, why is
they grounded the MAX 9, but on this one, like, I don't know. It's always one of those things.
Like, somebody's not doing a job that's supposed to be done.
Clearly.
Right. Where are people being held accountable for that? And I would say mostly in management, because if it keeps on happening, it starts somewhere near the top.
And as a nervous flyer, I can get on a plane because I tell myself that really smart, professional, dedicated people have checked to make sure the engine's not going to fly off. And then you see an engine fly off and you're like, oh.
What would be your reaction, Dave? You were in the window seat over the wing and you're taking off from Denver. You say, yeah, well, I'd like to just see the mountains, yeah, see the snow cover. And oh, look what's happening.
Yeah, I would French kiss the closest person to me and just kiss my ass goodbye. Andrew, I bet you're hoping it's you.
I'm like, ooh, let's see. All right, so if he takes the window seat.
Andrew's like, I call the aisle seat. Middle seat.
Middle seat.
One more story before we go to break. Pat Sajak has an update on his Wheel of Fortune departure. And for some reason, I feel like Dave Murray and Pat Sajak are friends. Am I making that up?
No, I've never met Pat.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you guys had a meeting like in a hot tub or something.
Well, you did refer to him by his first name, so we got a little confused. Never met Pat.
Sajak's final spin as the host of Wheel of Fortune will be Friday, June 7th. They taped the episode on Friday, and it's titled Thanks for the Memories.
Who's taking over, do we know?
I don't know. I don't know who's taking over.
Huh. Oh, no. Isn't it Ryan Seacrest?
Is it really? Man,
I think it is.
Those.
Oh, you are correct, Dave. I'm seeing that now. Ryan Seacrest.
I was watching some Price is Right with my mom, and I mean, it's not an easy job to do. You have to be affable, and you have to be this, you have to be that. I was kind of mad at Drew Carey because I thought he sold out, and he did, but good for him.
He got paid to do that.
Oh, he got paid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He makes so much money.
So much easier than trying to make people laugh every night.
Yeah. And he treats his employee, like everybody loves working for him as the host.
Yeah.
He treats
that's good
him
to
really
know.
Well.